Today on Real Life Radio.
What God begins in your life, He doesn't leave you there. He doesn't save you just to get you to heaven. That's the cream on top. God saves you to use you in this world to bring with you as many men and women and boys and girls into the kingdom as possible. Isn't that awesome?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message called Any Day Now, Part 3. It's been decades since Peter walked on the earth with Jesus, but his passion to impart vital yet practical wisdom to the church, it's really never faltered. His hard-hitting final warning to all believers may be his last will and testament, but for us, it couldn't come at a better time. You see, we all have a curiosity about the future, so it's completely normal for us as Christians to be sensing that some great event or movement could happen soon. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but the end is near, and we need to be ready. Today is a good day to know for sure that you are in the family of God. So, in this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in times like these, when the world is troubled by global unrest and uncertainty, the follower of Jesus Christ can take comfort in knowing that we can still find peace. Christ has overcome the world and promises the same for us. And now in his message called Any Day Now, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, we come to you this morning and we pray again that you would just send forth your word. Lord, that you would have the liberty today in this congregation, that you'd find faith here. Faith to do, Lord, whatever you want to do. You want to heal us, transform us, prepare us, comfort, instruct, exhort. Lord, you are our master. And we bow to you. We delight in you. So we look forward now to the instruction of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Curiosity about the future. Peter's talking about the future, of course, with graphic detail, mind you. And as we've been studying this, Peter has been unlocking one profound truth after another. And as I mentioned last week, it's really remarkable that Peter is saying the things that he's saying and saying the things that you're going to hear today, because in the flesh, Peter was just a mere Galilean fisherman. Galileans were famous for being what we would say today country bumpkins. They were frowned upon by the intelligentsia of Jerusalem and Judea. They were those countrymen up in the north who basically didn't know nothing. And I find it fascinating that Jesus spent the bulk of his life in Galilee. Makes me feel good. If Jesus was here today, I'd want to believe from Scripture that rather than him spending all of his time in New York or D.C. or even L.A., he'd be in Chino Hills. Riding a horse, maybe? I don't know. But he associates with people that are simple. And he called Peter a fisherman. But now we've come to the point where this aged old fisherman no longer carries around his net or has a boat to launch, but he has a message to preach. He's been possessed by the Holy Spirit. His life has been transformed. And all around the world today in this 21st century, Peter is known as an apostle. No one says Peter the fisherman. It's Peter the apostle. By the way, that's just a hint of what God's doing in your life. Amen. You may be Joe the carpenter or Joe the plumber or whoever you may be, but what God begins in your life, he doesn't leave you there. He doesn't save you just to get you to heaven. That's the cream on top. God saves you to use you in this world to bring with you as many men and women and boys and girls into the kingdom as possible. Isn't that awesome? God leverages his salvation and he propagates it in the lives of a converted soul or souls. And Peter's that man. He's changed. He's different. And he's telling us about the future. And curiosity about the future is built into us as humans. Every single one of us is curious about the future. It's a very powerful desire that you and I have. So much so that the disciples expressed that. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 and 2, the Bible tells us that when Jesus went out and departed from the temple, that glorious, amazing temple that stood, his disciples came up to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, verse 2, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Jesus says the future for you guys is this: the temple is going down. And the Bible tells us that they were so blown away by that they asked him three powerful questions. What will be the sign of your coming? When will you return? And when is the end of the world? And Jesus began to answer them. And so what Jesus went on to talk about in Matthew 24, much of Peter exhorts us to consider. It's very powerful stuff. And at times like these, by the way, church, if you look around, and again, you know what? I want you to be watching the news and listening and reading and stuff, and then I don't. I've never known the system to be so messed up as it is today. It's so hard to get accurate news. Best thing to do is get outside this nation and go international and gather your news that way. But even then, it's so bizarre. And yet it's a sign of the end where there's all of these things that are coming about and a lot of panic. It's global now. People are filled with fear globally at the same time. You say, well, no, that's happened before. We've had world wars. Yeah, we've had world wars, but not all the nations of the world were at war. This is different. Different times. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Doesn't that sound good? Yes. "In the world you will have tribulation or difficulties, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's to be our marching orders. The world is tough. The world is throwing curveballs at us. And listen, they're not to knock us down. They are not to put us out of the batter's box, because Jesus said in advance, it's going to be tough in this world, but don't worry. You can be of good cheer. I've overcome this thing. And by the way, he'll tell us in other places, you're going to overcome it too. Just stick with me. I like that. I need that. And so it's just so vitally important. As we get into this, I am indebted to somebody here who sent me this quote by Sir Isaac Newton. And I want to put it on the screen. Boy, is it powerful. Sir Isaac Newton, 1642 to 1747. "About the times of the end, a body of men will be raised up who will turn their attention to the prophecies and insist upon their literal interpretation in the midst of much clamor and opposition." Sir Isaac Newton, saying that in the last days, he had some hope because there'd be a turning of men back to the Bible, taking the Bible for what it says literally. And that's what we're seeing in part around our world today. I'm not going to belabor it, I'm going to run through it. You know this about 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. It's broken up into three categories. And now as we end this portion, you'll see it today. Category 1, it's essential that we saw this, that in verses 1 and 2, regarding that overriding theme, any day now for the believer, for us as a church, that it's a good day to know for sure. If you're a Christian, we saw in verse 1 that it's a good day to know for sure that you're in the family of God. Secondly, we saw that it's a good thing for you to know for sure that the mind of God is in you by the word of God, that you not only declare that you're a Christian in word, but his word is in you, which affects your mind, your thinking. And this is a very critical thing at a time like this, because church family, you are being, it's koinonia in Greek. You are being assembled together with other disciples and other followers of Christ. You may not even know their names before. And now you're meeting up with people. I'm watching you. I'm not kidding. After service, I'm hearing people that are meeting each other in the foyer and they're going to lunch. Or they're inviting strangers over to their house because they've met them here and they sense that immediate camaraderie. Yeah, but we're from Ventura and we're from San Diego, we're from Las Vegas, people from all over coming. But there's this instant bonding. How does that happen? It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in you that high fives, as it were, the brother or sister around you who share in the same spirit. It's remarkable. And then the third thing we saw about being sure in verses 1 and 2 is that there's a witness that God is generating in your life. God is stirring you up. You are telling more people now about Jesus than any other time in your Christian experience. And good for you. And good for the kingdom. Because it's never been this late before. In verses 3 through 6, we saw the second argument, and it's a good day to know that you're ready. To be ready is to be vigilant. We learned that in verses 3 and 4. We learned in verse 4 that being ready is being knowledgeable of the times and the age in which we live in. Again, God bless you for wanting to study the Bible. The scripture says that the sons of Issachar, the Old Testament tribe, it says that the sons of Issachar knew what Israel should do because they were able to discern the times and the seasons in which Israel lived. That's you. That's the kind of church I want to pastor, by the way. I don't want to pastor a church that, can you imagine getting raptured or we all meet up with you later because you die, we meet you up in heaven. And Gabriel or somebody says, you know what, man, this guy came from your church. He didn't know nothing about this up here. I mean, he's up here, but he didn't know what, he didn't know that, and he didn't know that. We had to introduce him to everybody. He didn't know who Noah was. Man, I don't want you to, when you show up, man, I want the gates to open up, and they go, come on in. And you can take the angels on the tour. That's what I want for you. Why? Because you're vigilant. The Bible is the biggest thing in your life now. It is your life, and you're knowledgeable about it. You know about it. And thirdly, we see that that will make you wise. So, oh, Pastor, I don't have a PhD from UCLA or whatever. Who? Thank God. God doesn't say, you know, to get to heaven, you got to have a PhD and a LMNOP and a XYZ. And aren't you glad God didn't say that? You know what? God is looking for those who have Christ. And today, by the end of this service, I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag right now. You're going to need to make a decision. If you don't have Christ today, then I'm going to ask you at the end. So just get all nervous now. You can get all nervous, get it all over with. And then when I invite you to come forward, then you just run up. You run up and, yeah, I'm here. And you should, because the Bible says angels rejoice in heaven when someone comes to Christ. So here we go. Third and final study in this Any Day Now topic as we march through verse by verse, 2 Peter chapter 3. And verses 7 through 9 teaches us that it's a good day to know the end is nearing. Can I have a cheer? The end is nearing. Now, I'm doing this deliberately. So what? You guys just cheered over the fact that the Bible teaches that the end is nearing, like it's coming? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Here's the reason why. Because we've read the book all the way through, and it ends really good. It ends really good. We're excited about how this ends. And listen, if you're a little hesitant about that, then you need to listen very carefully, because the end is coming if you're ready or not. The end is coming if you like it or not. But you got to understand that for the Bible, for those who trust Christ, the end is just the beginning. The end is when we shed this world and all of the pain and drama that it inflicts, and we are finally set free. As I mentioned, I think it was on Friday morning at the conference, that it is death for us that is the great liberator. It sets the believer free, and that's great news. So mark it down, verse 7. Today's a good day to know that the end is nearing. First of all, because separation will happen, or separation must come. Verse 7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, that's amazing, by the word of God, and reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That's a very strong statement. Church, mark this down if you would. What he's announcing is that it is very important to know and to understand and to find out what the Bible teaches regarding how things end. Now, you and I know that whenever there's a catastrophe in the world, the media always goes apocalyptic on us. They don't want to talk about it until an earthquake happens, and then they ask, is this the end of the world? Well, you didn't care 10 minutes ago, and now you care. That's how the world is. Well, things end. We know in life things end, and the end affects you. The end of anything affects you. I wrote a couple of things down. The end of class, when you graduate, does that affect you? I don't care if you're graduating from K or university. It affects you, and you think about it. The end is nearing. I gotta go out and get a job. I gotta pay my own bills. Gotta think for myself. The end is nearing. A lot of people, by the way, can't cope with that challenge these days. That's unfortunate. It's coming anyway. Or what about this? It's the end of the book. You read a book, you get to the end. I'm kind of weird. I told you guys before, I got saved the day I got saved. I went home and I looked at the Bible's a big book. Where do you start? I just thought, I know I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start at the end. I mean, first book I read of the Bible after getting saved was the book of Revelation. And I just thought, man, I need to know how this thing ends. The end will change your life. What about end of life? I watched recently a Frontline documentary on PBS. Broke my heart. I was lovingly yelling at my TV because it walked people. There's like 8 different patients. And they walked you through the end-of-life procedures from Johns Hopkins University to UCLA, various hospitals, MD Anderson in Houston, Northwestern University Hospital. And they just walked you through how the effect. This person's diagnosed, this person's treated, this person is now put on hospice, and this person dies. And they go through all of the stuff they're talking about, and not once were they given the thing that they need the most, and that is the gospel. Not once, and I'm yelling, give them the gospel! Give them the gospel! But they couldn't hear me. The end comes. The end comes in all things. Look with me when it says in verse 7, preserve. See that word preserve? That the heavens and the earth, our world, and our cosmos, the universe, the Bible here says, are kept or preserved by the same word. Like it or not, scientists, the Bible says that God's word holds everything together. It's God's word that created it. It's God's word that keeps it. And Peter is saying 2,000 years ago, all the way out to the 21st century, there will be those who will be attacking the fact that God's word holds everything together. They will not look at the testimony of creation. The word preserve, mark it down. It means kept for purpose, with logic, with reason. Listen, it's kept. Can I put it to you this way? The world that God has created and the heavens that are observable are kept to be teleonomic. It's a big word. You know it this way. God's creation and the witness of creation has been launching a telemetry of truth right into your heart and your head. God's broadcasting constantly that same word. God did this. You look at a giraffe. God did that. You look at a hippo. God did that. Isn't that amazing? Look at a bee. You know what's so fun about a bee? You know this. Bees can't fly. It's impossible. I'm not kidding. I got my pilot's license in 1982, and one of the first things, the introductory class to ground school was, bees can't fly unless certain things happen. Then they explained it. And then the instructor still said, they still shouldn't be flying. It's impossible for a bee to fly. The weight, the ratio, the wings, the size, the shape, impossible. But we look at it as just common. Oh, look, there's a bee. No, there's a miracle. We get so used to God's creation, we barely stop to figure out that same word that brought it all into living and life, the same word that keeps it. Amen. Right now in this world, God's keeping this world together. Right now, we're going to see how that works. By the way, with purpose, Some scholars say that the word with purpose presupposes with purpose awaiting a moment. That's not a big leap, is it? Why would something be preserved? Because God's got a purpose. You've been preserved for a purpose. God's got a plan. And then if you look with me by the same word, he says, are reserved for fire. Oh my goodness. I'm going to need some help from all of you because I am going to be tempted to really linger at this location. But I want to finish this message today. So you need to say, get on with it. Because I love what we're about to learn together here. When it says reserve, the word Greek to arrow, it means this, to watch over, to guard, to hold with intent. So the word could also be applied to a bird. Have you ever seen a bird on a nature program, for example, or any mothering animal that has got their little nest or their little squirrels or their little animal, whatever it is, and you know how they're just all doting over it? They move the sticks around and they move the little chick over and then they move it back and they stand up and then they cover them up and they're messing with them. Have you seen that? That's the word. It's just constantly tweaking, constantly making right and making it better and making it stay safe. We look at nature and God says, that's me. Didn't Jesus say that? Israel, I wanted to gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Have you ever seen that happen? But you were not willing, Jesus said of them. And then here's the word, fire. Reserved for fire. This is fascinating. The word for fire means for the burning, obviously. It means fire as used in the sense to purify. When gold gets burned up, what happens to gold when you burn it? It gets better. It gets pure. This word fire means to cleanse. It means to melt. It means to pure. It means to remove all impurities. We've sang the song, Refiner's Fire. And the Bible tells us that until the day of judgment of and perdition of ungodly men. So God is moving, watch everybody, God is moving this world in the direction where it's eventually gonna need a washing, but not with water. If I were an airline pilot and I were informing you about the fact that we're going to begin our descent into Charles de Gaulle, for example, International Airport in Paris, that announcement would be made. The captain would say what he says. Why? Because something's going to happen. We are going to descend, and y'all need to know. If you don't make the announcement, people are going to be thinking, this plane's going down. But the announcement comes. Are you with me? It's the announcement that takes the edge off.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Any Day Now, Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. Any Day Now Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Peter was well known for living on the wild side, radical, intentional, with a deep love for Christ and for his people. He was a born-again believer who wanted to show as many as he could the salvation that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's why we've devoted a special part of our website for this purpose. Just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab there labeled Know God, and the word know is spelled K-N-O-W. And once you're there, we'll guide you through what your commitment to Christ really involves, and of course a prayer to receive Him as your personal Savior. We'll also give you some basic practices that'll help you grow closer to the Lord and help you share His love with others in your life. Again, it's called the Know God tab. You'll find it right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.